For WKU Public Radio, I'm Lisa Autry. During the month of April, communities all over Kentucky are placing special emphasis on preventing child abuse. According to the state, more than 23,000 children in Kentucky were involved in substantiated reports of abuse or neglect in 2013. April is Child Abuse Prevention Month, but Denise Lambriano works toward that goal daily. She spoke with us about her work at the Family Enrichment Center in Warren County.
I am the Adoption Resource Program Coordinator at the Family Enrichment Center. So what I do is help the state recruit foster and adoptive parents for children that are in out-of-home care.
And those children have been removed from their birth families because of abuse or neglect. Talk about the difference between those two.
Abuse can be several different things. It could be physical abuse, sexual abuse, emotional abuse. Neglect could be, you know, not providing sanitary conditions where your child lives, not providing enough food in their home. There's even educational neglect where you don't, you know, make your child go to school. I mean, they have to go to school by law. There can be medical neglect, but that's a very fine line depending on one's religious values. And so.
And you speak from experience, having adopted four boys out of foster care.
Yes, my two oldest ones were removed from their home for neglect. They were just living in some deplorable conditions. Wasn't enough food in the house, so I'm sure they were very hungry at times. Our two little ones were infants, so they don't really remember much. But my two older ones do. They were 8 and 4 when they came to live with us.
Have their birth homes had any long-term effects on them?
You know, I'm sure it does. Our oldest one, I mean, I think he's done really well. He had to grow up a lot faster than most kids his age. I mean, he was a caretaker. And there for a long time, we had to help him learn how to be a kid. You know, you don't have to be the parent anymore. We'll take care of that. The next youngest one, pretty sure he was hungry a few times. So he... Not that it's a big problem, but there are just some little issues with food occasionally, like he's afraid that we're not going to have enough or there's not going to be enough in the house. And so we talk about that, like, you know, mom and dad will take care of you and, you know, we'll do without before you ever do without, but you don't have to worry about that. Mm-hmm. So, but I think they've adjusted rather well, but, you know, they do remember their past and I'm sure that it does affect them in some way, but hopefully we've been able to help them through that.
Every parent has those moments where they've had it with their kids. That's natural. But sometimes parents don't know how to walk away or handle their anger. That's maybe where discipline turns into abuse. And you say it's so important for the public to be able to detect signs of abuse. What should we look for?
If you're wanting to look for, like, physical signs, depending on the age of the child, you know, when children are toddlers, like 1 to 3 year olds, you know, there's going to be bumps and bruises because they're learning to walk. But when it becomes like bruises around the head, the upper arms, like the rib cage area, then that would be a sign that there might be something else going on, because 6-month-olds don't bump into tables. You know, they don't, you know, hit corners where it'll leave a mark or anything like that. So if you see any of those kind of outward signs in those parts of the body, then there could be some suspicious activity going on at home.
And the signs don't always have to be physical, do they? What other signs are there?
You know, when children become withdrawn, you know, maybe a child that's been pretty outgoing in the past starts with to withdraw. That could be a sign that there's something going on at home. There could be like attachment or boundary issues. If a child's being sexually abused, there could be some boundary issues that, you know, what somebody displays to them as quote unquote love is maybe inappropriate touching. And so when they want to tell you that they love you, they may try to mimic what they've seen done or had done to them. And so that could be a huge red flag.
Tell us about the process that child abuse cases go through, starting with allegations that might get the police involved to how the case is resolved.
Usually it's made, you know, by an anonymous tip. Then that is assigned to an investigator at the Department of Protection and Permanency. They may at that point go to the family's home and, you know, talk with the parents about what is going on. They may also go to the schools if the child is a school-aged child and talk to the child separately. if there is, you know, after talking with them, if they feel like this is something that's actually happened, there is the real risk that the child will be removed from the situation. Of course, then the child's placed in foster care. And then the workers will start a case plan, you know, for the parent to get their child back. And that's where we kind of come in with the Family Enrichment Center. A lot of families are required to take parenting education classes so that they can learn a different way to parent or discipline their child without crossing that line that they may have already crossed. Some of our parents' children have already been removed or they're at risk for being removed. And so we're there to help them, hopefully to reunify their family. And that is the number one goal of the cabinet, is to get those kids back with their home, because it is home and that's where they want to be.
So without mentioning names, of course, talk about a case or two that stand out in your mind.
I think the most recent one, met a little boy, and he had come to one of the trainings that we offer, and he was in a body cast, basically, from the waist down. And I asked the foster parent, I said, I don't know if I really want to know this. I said, but tell me this is just a medical problem. And he goes, no. And he said, the baby wouldn't stop crying. So the parent twisted his upper leg until it broke. So it was a spiral fracture of the thigh because the child wouldn't stop crying. I mean, that's the kind of things these kids go through. You know, we're talking like a 9-month-old. And you do that and you just twist their little leg until it breaks.
It's unimaginable.
It is unimaginable that somebody could do that. You know, sometimes it is just amazing what an adult can do to a child and not think anything about it. And I think some of the wonders of some of it is that these kids come out the other side and they come out unscathed, that somehow they get through this and they go on to be productive members of society. Now, some kids, I mean, it has a profound effect on them that they carry that scar with them the rest of their life. And you just do what you can to help them through that.
What have you learned from child abuse victims?
You know, it's amazing the resiliency of children, how they can overcome these awful things that have happened to them and still look at the bright side of life. And they're so upbeat and positive and they just want to be loved so much, you know. But I think I've just been really been amazed about how some of these kids really do. They just come out the other side and they just go on to do great things.
We've been speaking with Denise Lambrianu with the Family Enrichment Center in Warren County. You can hear more of our conversation and an extended interview online at WKYUFM.org. I'm Lisa Autry for WKU Public Radio.